Welcome to Dividing Line, a show designed to show the believer and the non-believer alike that everything we say or do is ultimately judged by God's Word. And now hosting Dividing Line, Bill and Ruth.
Hello, this is Ruth Darr with Dividing Line. Our interview today is with Nancy Rowe, Director of Men Medical Clinic, Pregnancy Resource Center. It's always interesting to me how we are touched by God and led into different ministries. I don't think Nancy had this goal in mind when she was sitting in church listening to a presentation on abortion. Nancy's story is very moving, and she is a strong example of someone who not only listens to God, but obeys Him and then remains faithful for years to come. Nancy, welcome to Dividing Line, and I'm sure there are many who have never heard your story. But folks, while you're listening to Nancy's story, keep in mind and in your heart, keep it open as to what God may want you to get involved in. Nancy, will you share the opportunities and that make a difference in Tulsa today?
Yes. We have been in the Tulsa area for almost 24 years. We started in 1987, and we serve the Tulsa metropolitan area for women in crisis. Mm-hmm. The name MEND comes from the scripture in Isaiah 61, where we're told to bind up the brokenhearted or to mend their heart. And our mission is to empower and provide women with life-affirming alternatives in an unplanned pregnancy through the love of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And we do that by supporting women in life choices.
Yes, that's wonderful. Well, it all began for you in church. Can you tell us how that happened?
Well, yes. Almost 26 years ago now, I thought I would never have an abortion, but who was I to tell someone else what to do? When on Thanksgiving Day, our second daughter came and told us that she had eloped the day before. And shortly after she was married, he became very physically abusive. And after 8 months of marriage, she found out she was pregnant. And he told her if she didn't get an abortion, he would make sure she never had that kid. Wow. And our daughter moved back home with us, and I was her Lamaze coach, and I carried our first grandchild from the delivery room to the nursery. And when he was a month old, she had gone back to work, and I was holding him, sitting in the front row of church one evening, and another crisis pregnancy center came and showed the video, The Silent Scream, which shows whole aborted babies in buckets. And that just forever changed our life because one of those babies looked so much like Christopher. Mm-hmm. It was just so eye-opening that when I left the sanctuary that night, a friend of mine said, "What are we going to do about this?" And it all started from then. We thought that Lutherans for Life was the organization we were to start to educate the Lutheran Church on abortion. We purchased some videos and started traveling around to Lutheran churches to show those videos to educate people when the Lord told us it wasn't a Lutheran problem. It was a problem for the whole community.
That's right.
And we had a luncheon and invited friends and had people from 8 different churches that were represented and, you know, just progressed. It took us about 2 years until we raised $2,000 and opened our first center here in Broken Arrow.
Oh, that's wonderful. Was your friend still, was she working with you when she said, "What are we going to do?" Did she do this with you?
Yes, she did. And she was the driving force. Okay. You know, I was not good at public speaking. You know, that was the last thing on earth that I had ever dreamed of doing. She was, and she was a leader, and she became president of the group, and I took the very active role as treasurer because I didn't have to speak to anyone. And once we opened the office, we had another lady. She left then. Janie, her name was. And I was quite upset with her for a while because it was like, you abandoned us. You know, we just got started and now you're gone. And the Lord reminded me that her vision was to provide an alternative in Broken Arrow because Planned Parenthood was here. Okay. And she had accomplished that mission. Mm-hmm. My vision was to help women. And that's why I was still there.
Okay.
But I co-directed with another lady, a young girl, and she loved public speaking. She loved going, talking in churches and speaking to pastors and stuff. And I was content to stay in the office and talk to clients one-on-one and fold clothes and, uh-huh. and that sort of thing. And after 4 years of doing that, she was hired by a pregnancy center in Michigan and left. And, you know, I was like, okay, God, you know, is this all you had for us to do? You know, we don't have anybody here that, you know, can lead this group. And he said, we can. And I said, no, I can't. And he persisted on saying, we can. And I went to church that Sunday and we sang the song, Whose Report Will You Believe? We'd never sang that song before. And I heard Charles Stanley. We had just come back from vacation, and we felt that after our youngest son graduated from high school, that we were moving back to Wisconsin to start a charismatic church in Lutheran and Catholic country. Uh-huh. And we were seeking God's direction on vacation. And when she came back and told me that, well, while we were there, we visited some alumni from the school that my husband had gone to. And I just gave one of them guys a pep talk because he was kind of discouraged. And I just said, well, do you ever hear who was in the boat with Peter? You know, any of the disciples with him and Jesus? And because Peter was the only one that got out and did anything.
That's right.
You know, and just kept going on and on telling him all this. And then when I heard Charles Stanley, he said, have you ever preached a sermon to someone that God turned around and gave back to you? And it was like, no, God, I don't want to hear this. But, you know, I tell people my footprints in the sand have a lot of skid marks where he either dragged me or pushed me.
I think we all have that. I agree.
Yes. But he has brought us, you know, through many years and has always been there financially and giving us the courage to step out and do the things that he's asked us to do.
That's a great undertaking. So I can imagine the fear and trepidation you felt.
Yes.
I can totally understand that. Well, I believe there are a lot of people that have no idea of all the things that MEND does that they're involved in. In fact, we were at Planned Parenthood office last week on the 14th taking a stand. You know, B-Wright had asked us to come, the head of 40 Days for Life. Because he wanted us to expose the money, our tax money that goes to Planned Parenthood. Well, this lady came by and rolled her window down and she yelled out, you aren't helping anyone, indicating that Planned Parenthood was and we weren't. And I was getting ready to explain some things to her and she looked at me, rolled up her window and stepped on the gas and went off. And I thought, you know, lady, if you would stand there or sit there long enough and let me tell you what's going on.
Right.
I mean,
right.
There are people doing something who care not only about the babies, but the girls and their future. And you just shared your mission statement. And can you share the MEND purpose statement with us, too?
Our purpose, MEND is a nonprofit, life-affirming organization whose purpose is to help women find and implement loving solutions to an unplanned pregnancy. This ministry encourages women to choose life by offering support and assistance during these times of crisis. MEND provides services to women in the Tulsa metropolitan area, regardless to race, age, financial status, or religious preference. And, you know, we advertise in the Tulsa metro area, but, you know, occasionally we have girls that bring friends from other states that are there visiting, and we've never turned anybody away because they didn't live in Tulsa.
That's good. Well, I know coming up the 10th of March is your One Life at a Time, your annual dinner banquet. And this benefits, this is a fundraising, but it benefits Men Medical Clinic and Pregnancy Resource Center. This is your one time a year when you call people together and share with them. And who is your speaker this year?
Mike Justice is our speaker. He is executive director of the Oklahoma Family Policy Council, and that is a nonpartisan pro-life research and education organization based out of Oklahoma City. It is associated with Focus on the Family and Family Research Council that works legislatively and culturally to strengthen families in Oklahoma through informed citizenship and improve public policy. In March of 2003, Mike was certified by the National Center for Fathering as a trainer for the Seven Secrets of Effective Fathers, a seminar which is furthering his reach on families and fathers across Oklahoma. I first met Mike many years ago when we attended a KEEP seminar, which is the largest statewide Title V sexual abstinence only until marriage program for public and private school students in Oklahoma and Tulsa counties.
Oh, that's great.
And this is, encouraging parents to get involved in their school and teach this class to the students in that school. And, he's done an awesome job on that. And he's also part of the Pro-Life Media Coalition and with us and works on Rose Day at the Capitol and coming up tomorrow, a luncheon at the Capitol for the pro-life senators that the directors from the crisis pregnancy centers will be invited to speak with the legislators.
Oh, that's wonderful. In his program, you mentioned going into the schools and teaching abstinence. So can parents do that in their
yes.
local public schools?
Yes, yes.
How do they do that?
Well, he has a whole training manual on how to do that. Mm-hmm. And if you just contact him, I'm sure he will get you plugged in. Mm-hmm. I'm not aware of how much he does this now, or, mm-hmm. He may have other people under him that, mm-hmm. that do that will train parents on how to do that in their public schools.
That is wonderful. And what is his ministry? Like, how would we find him?
The Oklahoma Family Policy Council in Oklahoma City.
Policy Council. Okay. Folks, we need to check into that because parents need to get on top of that and
yes.
get into their schools. I know that happens in other areas. I've talked to other mothers around the country that have gone in, just a mother, a mm-hmm. homemaker, housewife, whatever,
right.
goes
right.
into the school and gets a program like that implemented. And because they're supposed to be fair on both sides, they mm-hmm. give her equal time.
Oh, that's great.
You
that's
know,
great.
To present this. So I think that's something that really needs to be
right, yeah.
Let people know.
And it's much better coming from a concerned parent
yes.
than it is from a controversial, mm-hmm. pregnancy center
uh-huh.
and stuff like that,
Or from an organization, big organization, an
right.
individual.
Right,
that's
yeah.
one of those things we can do by getting out of our comfort zone.
Right.
And just
right.
step out and make
yes.
a difference.
Yes,
that's
and God
wonderful.
Will provide, whatever you need when you do that.
You're proof of that.
Yes.
Well, that banquet that's coming up is Thursday, March the 10th from 6:30 to 9 at the Marriott Tulsa Southern Hills. That's at 1920 East 71st Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And reservations are required. And folks, you can call Mend at 745-6000. That's 918-745-6000. Or visit their website at www.supportmend.com. And you can put your reservation in there, and you could also sponsor a table.
Yes, we have all kinds of levels. This is a fundraiser, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. We have table sponsors anywhere from $10,000 to mm-hmm. $500
okay.
to sponsor a table of 10 and bring like-minded guests to introduce them to the ministry, people that may mm-hmm. not have heard about us before but are pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that want to get involved and mm-hmm. don't necessarily, want to be confrontational,
mm-hmm.
but being a support
right.
financially,
right.
Rather than cursing the darkness to light a light.
Exactly.
And we have many supporters that are mm-hmm. being a part of pro-life by financially supporting.
That's wonderful. That's good. Well, Mend, also, you have a links newsletter. And what all do you provide in that? It comes out monthly, I believe.
Quarterly, okay. Yeah. And that is on our website, too. You can find that www.mendpregnancy.org. And we post it on our website. It's also got a lot of links to, development of babies and resources and things that are available. You know, if you know someone in a crisis situation, that you can go to there and get good information to counsel someone, or, you know, refer them, you know, to that website also.
Oh, that is good. Well, besides that, let's talk about some of the services you provide. And I know that volunteers are always needed.
Yes, yes.
And volunteers, what would be their process if they wanted to volunteer?
Well, we start out by giving them a tour of the facility. We have four suites at 6216 South Lewis. And we give them a tour and show them exactly what we all do. And, you know, they'll kind of pick an area that they want to, you know, if they're interested in counseling. We can start them by working. We have a room with gently used clothing that the client can come in once every 60 days and receive 20 items. And that's not a real threatening thing. You know, it's not a life and death issue. Mm-hmm. And we start people there to learn the forms and to, you know, feel comfortable talking with someone one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And some people that have had experience in counseling just breeze right through that and, you know, want to go on to some other area. But some women are content to stay there and minister to that girl, you know, that has children. And most of the salvations happen, you know, in that part of the ministry. You know, it's not the life-threatening, a lot of pressure and stress and things like that. So
many times it takes people knowing that you care about them, but it's a long-term care.
Right, yeah.
That you're not just going to come in, throw the gospel at them, and leave.
Right, right.
So that does
And, you know, we want to help that girl that chooses life for her baby by providing, you know, the material needs that she has for her child, but also be a friend to her and you know, minister to plant seeds each time she comes in and encourage her in her walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's wonderful.
And if, you know, after that she decides she wants to go on and do counseling for pregnancy tests, then, you know, we can, you know, train her in that area. We have some people that come in and just fold clothes, some that do filing, some that run copies off. We have one lady that comes in once a month and writes all the thank you letters to the wonderful people that donated clothing and diapers and things like that. And she writes a personal note to them. So by having the tour, you can kind of pick an area that you would feel comfortable in, or see an area of need. We had a volunteer one time that did a lot of couponing, and she started bringing toiletry items in that she had got, you know, at a real reduced price, because if these girls are on food stamps, they can't buy things like that, you know, laundry soap and things like that. So those were a big item for the girls to earn, things that were difficult for them to purchase.
That just proves that if you want to do something, there's something you can do.
Right.
Everybody.
Right.
Is the Pregnancy Hope Line still in operation?
No, it's not.
It's not.
No.
Okay. That was a good thing. Maybe someday someone will pick that up.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
Take that.
Yes.
That's a 24-hour where girls can call in.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yes.
And you do free ultrasounds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you talk about that for a little bit?
Yes. First of all, we provide a free pregnancy test for, you know, any girl that is in need of one. We do a pregnancy test on her, even if she's been somewhere else, for our records and stuff. If her test is positive, we offer an ultrasound to everyone with a positive pregnancy test. Because sometimes, you know, when she goes home, mom and dad may not be excited about this pregnancy like she may be.
Right.
Or the boyfriend may not be excited about it. So most women don't get an abortion because that's what they want. Right. A lot of them are pressured into that and they don't see any other option. Mm-hmm. So by providing the free ultrasound, that can help her see that the literature we gave her when we talked about development of the baby and things like that, when she sees that on the ultrasound, 85 to 90% choose life after yes. seeing their baby. And it's just such a powerful tool. Mm-hmm. And even married women are considering abortion. You know, mm-hmm. their husband may be out of work. The marriage may not be doing well, and bringing another child in to that relationship would just add more stress and problems. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's women of all ages that we see.
Yes. Yes. Well, I know you do. Do you have some other services you want to talk about that, that are available?
Yes, we do have a lady that does parenting classes in the evening. We are looking for someone to do childbirth classes. We've had that in the past, but don't have anyone to do that at this time. We need mentors. One of the ways that we help the girls is through our Earn While You Learn program. And they schedule an appointment for an hour and come in and watch DVDs on pregnancy, childbirth, and parenting. And they earn $10 an hour. And we would like for them each to have a mentor when they watch that video, someone that would be the same person every time they come in to be able to talk with her about what she saw on the DVD and what she'd learned and any questions she has, mm-hmm. to develop a relationship with her and to mentor her along the process. So we need a lot of those, and we have a sexual integrity class that we've started. It's basically the same as the Earn While You Learn, but it's on sexual integrity.
That's good.
And, you know, she can also earn the $10 an hour, which, you know, both of the video programs earn. And then she can use those baby bucks to go shopping in our Baby Buck Boutique, which has new items, mm-hmm. Diapers and new clothes and formula and baby food and sometimes furniture and things like that, but a lot of things that she would use for her baby. So everything's not given to her free, because that tends to create a welfare mentality.
Yes.
And it, you know, it makes her feel good that she's actually earning things mm-hmm. for her baby, and it's not all used and it's not all hand-me-downs and things mm-hmm. like that. So.
That's a wonderful program, because not only are you helping with their needs, but she's being educated.
Right.
And trained and learning
yes.
in the process. That means she's going to be a better parent.
Yes.
To
yes.
the child.
Right. And years ago, we used to have a support group that met once a week. But this program is so much better because it's one-on-one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a girl that's coming and wanting to learn. And she can bring her child, you know, with the support group. We had free babysitting, and it was like, they just wanted somebody to take care of their child. They weren't really there to learn, but these women, you know, sit in there and watch those DVDs with their children and are educated at the same time while they're earning some of the things their child needs.
That's wonderful. Well, Nancy, you also will do a presentation at a church.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. We're all about educating. You know, most people don't, like I didn't. I didn't have a clue about, you know, how devastating an abortion was and how many people were getting abortions and such. And, you know, you had told me, which was very shocking, that over 200 babies are aborted in Tulsa every month. And
yes.
that was just mind-boggling to
yes.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So that's good. So they can just call your number, 918-745-6000.
Yes.
And set it up, and you can come in and do a presentation. And they can probably tell you what they would like. You could bring different
right,
displays
yeah.
or handouts.
Right. You know, it depends okay. on how much time they have. And, you know, sometimes they want presentations to the youth. Sometimes it's to the women mm-hmm. ministry. Sometimes it's the whole church.
Yes.
This year on Life Sunday, for the first time, we did a live ultrasound for the youth department at a church.
That's
and
great.
It was very, eye-opening. The staff and the parents, you know, we've had great feedback from that.
That's how great.
It just opened discussion for them to talk afterwards.
That's great. Well, you had talked to mention once about a prison ministry.
Yes.
Where 80% of girls in prison have had abortions?
Yes. And we do have a lady that goes to one of the local prisons, and she teaches a sexual abuse class. Mm-hmm. You know, and most women in there have been sexually abused.
Yes.
And, you know, abortion is just kind of the ongoing road once, mm-hmm. you know, that sexual abuse has started. It just caused all kinds of trauma in women's lives. And, you know, an abortion is just another byproduct of that. So after she teaches the the sexual abuse class and gives her testimony about how she had had several abortions, then she teaches the post-abortion class to women that have had an abortion also.
That is great. Well, I can't believe it. We're halfway through this program. But thank you so much. And we're going to come back. And the second half, I want to talk about the long-range vision you have and also working together, how we can call the community to work together with all of us outside the church walls, actually. Okay?
Great.
We'll be back with Nancy Rowe in just a few minutes.
Do you need to promote your business on the internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio at truthinfocus.org.
I'm sure you've heard that one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But why then, since 1960, have African Americans rejected any Republican running for office and elected Democratic Party officials to run their communities? Did you know that the cities with the highest crime, teenage pregnancy and poverty rates, as well as the lowest high school graduation rates, are all run by Democratic officials, from the mayors down to the city councils? Now, I know what you're thinking. This is just some Republican trick perpetrated by some racist Republican group. No, just some free-thinking black folks who have decided that the insanity must stop. We're not telling you to vote Republican. We're just telling you to stop and think before you vote for another Democrat that promises you the same thing and gives you what you've gotten for the past 50 years. Just think about it. For more information, check out newblackthought.blogspot.com. That's newblackthought.com. .blogspot.com.
Canyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at canyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772. 866-458-4772. Canyon State Wireless. When you're serious about communication.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful.
myself and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee.
Welcome back to Dividing Line. This is Ruth Darr, and we've been talking with Nancy Rowe, Executive Director of Mend Medical Clinic Pregnancy Resource Center. And we've been talking about all the services that they provide, and I want to talk about a long-range vision. We are out at the abortion clinic, and the abortion clinic does ultrasounds for the girls. They charge them $100, and then they set the appointment for the abortion. But Mend wants to do something kind of radical. It's done in some places, but they want to get a medical van that would have a free ultrasound, medical technician. It would be equipped with a bed and a bathroom, and they could be at that location as well as other locations in Tulsa. I mean, it's possible you could go to the University of Tulsa.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Oh, that would be wonderful. And give these girls, if we had that right there on that property across from the clinic where the girls could come and get a free ultrasound and actually be shown the ultrasound.
Yes.
Because I know they do that. They give them a $100 ultrasound in the abortion clinic.
Yes.
But they don't show them. And even if they do, you know, a technician has to be pretty good to get the good picture.
Right.
So they can show them, say, see, it's just a blob of tissue.
Right. Yes. And just this week I was doing a tour with a couple people from church and as I was explaining, you know, the ultrasound and stuff to them, one of our volunteers came up and she had just seen a girl that had an ultrasound at the abortion clinic, and she asked to see it and they refused to even show it to her.
That was here in Tulsa.
Yes.
Okay.
So they are paying $100 for something that they won't even let them see.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's just increase their revenue, $100 a client.
Exactly.
Because they're not being shown the truth of what is growing.
Well, I think a lot of times they do the ultrasounds to see the size of the baby, to see if they could do it without harming the woman so they wouldn't have a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's a lot of that. In fact, that Abby Johnson from the Planned Parenthood, that's the thing that woke her up.
Right.
She was called back from administration back to help and hold the deal for the doctor to see the ultrasound so he could see how to abort the baby.
Right. Right.
And she saw the baby. She saw the baby fighting to get away from the suction tube.
Yes. Yes.
And she's never been the same.
Right. Right.
So we know how powerful the ultrasound is.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could get a van that was mobile, we could take it wherever we needed
it and have it there.
And
there are some crisis pregnancy centers that are doing that, and they're parking at different colleges, you know, like one day a week or something, and offering that free ultrasound, you know, and free pregnancy tests to a girl before she gets to the abortion clinic and are told about what, you know, don't talk to them crazy radical people out in front, you know, they don't care anything about you. And and stuff like that. And, you know, so we can educate them before they get to, you know, the abortion clinic.
Well, and not only let them see the baby, but let them know the services that are available.
Right, right.
I mean, these girls are desperate. If they knew that someone was there with medical attention and legal attention and housing, whatever she needed, her fears would be wiped away.
Right,
and she could choose life. Because I know that the girls mostly feel forced into abortion.
Yeah, and like you said, they aren't aware of all the resources in the community to help single moms, especially in this day and age, you know. 20, 30 years ago, there wasn't that much help like there is now. And even, you know, there's seems to be more help for girls that are wanting to go to college that are single moms because they want to help her to become a productive member of society and not have to use welfare.
Yes.
And that type of thing.
Well, I had one girl tell me that, well, my friend had to get an abortion because if she didn't, DHS would take her baby and she'd never see it again.
Uh-huh.
And that's Not true at all.
No.
But someone has told her that.
Yeah.
In fact, probably, and I don't know, but they could have in the abortion clinic. You just have to do this, or maybe you'll be taken away from you anyway.
Right, yeah.
So the girls need to know the facts.
Right, and they're not told the truth about adoption.
Right.
That, you know, if you make an adoption plan, that, you know, that child would immediately go into the home of a couple, a couple that could provide for all the needs, and it doesn't go to, you know, welfare or, or into DH custody and stuff. You know, if it's a last minute adoption, maybe that has that does, you know, for a few days and stuff like that. But, you know, if you plan it ahead of time, the adopting parents can be there at the hospital. They can take that baby home from the hospital with them most times and stuff. So, you know, there are so many people wanting to adopt a baby that they're going overseas to do that because there aren't any here.
Right.
You know,
right. So this van could just be the best thing that ever happened to Tulsa. And when we're talking about it, we're talking about somebody stepping forward to take care of this. People who want to do that, not taking away from the ministry of MEND, because you still have an ongoing ministry that has to has needs that they have to meet.
Right.
But we're talking about people who have never even thought about this, and maybe someone has a van they'd like to donate. We just don't know.
Yeah.
So I want people to really pray about this and see, because I believe the answer is just around the corner.
Right.
I really do.
Right.
So that's exciting to
me. And we're checking into that, weighing the cost, you know, finding out all the things that we would need, you know, increase our liability insurance and medical insurance and, you know, all those sort of things. And with a vehicle, you have to have car insurance, and then you have to have a place to park it. And you know,
technicians to run the machine.
Right.
There's
and,
a lot
you know,
involved.
Right. So we're just weighing the cost of that and, you know, just kind of being a separate entity in itself and, you know, looking for supporters that would you know, come alongside and help that. And we have several people that are interested in doing that. But, you know, this is a long-range plan for, you know, many years. And we can't take money from one organization to give to another while one would fall apart. So we're just, you know, seeking God's direction.
Wouldn't you think in Tulsa this could happen pretty quickly?
Well,
I
would hope so.
There's a lot of people here who could step forward. So we'll just pray that they do.
Right.
And I really believe they will.
Yes.
And I
and we have three or four options right now that we've been presented on, you know, how to get a medical van that's already been used for this sort of thing that is for sale. Or there's a group that would sell you one already, and it would be a five-year payment plan. And, you know, or somebody could donate one that we can convert ourselves. So we're just checking out all the cost and then, you know, seeking support for that before we make a final decision.
Okay. That's put it on the top of your prayer list.
Yes.
Well, I want to ask you, because last time I interviewed was about 18 months ago. I don't know if you realize that. It didn't seem that long.
Yes.
But
I didn't realize it was that long. Yes.
For us. But since that time, you have been coming out to the clinic. My husband and I are out there every Friday, and you've been coming out there and talk about faithful. It's so encouraging when we pull up and see you there praying. It's very, very encouraging to us, and I want to thank you for it. But tell me your first impressions, and how did that affect you coming out and actually being at the location?
Well, one of our volunteers had been doing that, and her and her husband were coming out and actually passing out literature and counseling, you know, with the girls going in. And she made the comment that everybody needs to do that once just to see, you know, what it's like out there and what goes on. And I had always kind of thought, oh, God, you know, what if I go out there and get arrested? Then who's going to do the center? And, you know, just all kinds of lame excuses. So I took her challenge and went out there. And the first morning I headed out there, I cried from the time I got in my car until, you know, I got out there and, you know, asking God for peace. And I thought, oh, God, that's absurd. How can I even think of it? Of being peaceful there when they're killing babies.
Yes.
And you know, but it's just so powerful to sit there, you know, and they have little rocks around the prayer garden across yes. the street. You can just sit on your rock and mm-hmm. read your Bible and pray. But, you know, it's just God's really placed a burden on my heart to pray for more people to be there.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
my vision is that prayer garden would be full of people.
Yes.
You know, every day, you know, not right. 15 people, mm-hmm. you know, but every day. Just praying for the people that are working in there, that their eyes would be open, praying, you know, for the clients going in. I mean, it's like going in through the gates of hell,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
and knowing, you know, I've worked with the post-abortion class and knowing the pain and devastation that's on the other side of that decision,
yes.
you know, is just heart-wrenching, plus the loss of life.
Yes.
And you know, one week when I was out there, I think they mowed the lawn on Saturday, so it was getting kind of long, but the grass and I don't know what kind of grass it is, but it looked like little arms reaching up like they were praising God, or like a cross. And you know, the scripture says even the rocks will cry
yes.
out if we don't.
Yes.
You know, and it's like that grass is praying and praising God, and mm-hmm. you know, we need to be out there to intercede for His creation,
yes.
and just break down those lies at the gates of hell. There,
yes. Well, I know it's powerful too. As Bill says, it you think it's the worst place to be, but you can really feel the presence of God
uh-huh.
there.
Yeah,
it's good and evil. It's like
right.
there's a line drawn, and you can feel the good and evil
yeah.
right there before your
yeah.
very eyes.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just so impressed with the counselors that, you know, I stay back on Catholic Charities property, and nobody comes to talk to me other than other pro-life people, and, you know, I can, you know, just pray. But, you know, I just see the love and the compassion in you and Bill and the other counselors.
Thank
for
you.
Those people that aren't very nice, you know, they just try to start a fight, start an argument, and you guys just share the love of Christ with them. It's humbling to me because I would want to punch them if I was over there or something.
Well, that's the natural.
Right, right.
We
yes.
all feel that.
That's why I stay over and stay away from that. But, you know, it's just so impressive to yeah. see that, and so awesome to see a car pull out with the girl
yes.
in it again.
Yes.
And, Not long ago, you had shared with me about a young girl that had brought her friend, and, you know, while she was waiting for her friend, came out the door of the abortion clinic, and you motioned for her to come over, and, you know, you had the chance to talk to her for some time, and a couple days later, the two of them showed up at Mend.
That's
and
wonderful.
Her friend was coming apparently for her ultrasound or something like that. It wasn't for her abortion that day. And the girl that brought her was also pregnant and didn't tell anyone. She was kind of checking out the place and stuff. But when they came to Mend, she told the counselor that she could not believe that complete strangers would stand out there in the cold and talk to them and pray for them, pray for people they didn't even know. So, I mean, it was just, you know, it was like, yes, two victories in one shot.
And, you know, her yeah. friend was in, she was in the clinic at the time.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they had already taken her back or not, but I told her, I said, you can go get your friend.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to stay here.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't know
yeah,
what
where
happened.
She was in the procedure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
but,
you never know.
Yes.
You really never know.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm glad we can work together.
Yes,
That is good.
It is. I mean, it's the same cause, and, you know, there's just so many areas where people can get involved, and you know, it's peaceful, like you said. I mean, mm-hmm. you can sit across the street, and nobody comes over there to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dangerous,
no.
You know, which were some of my fears about going out there to begin with and stuff. But, you know, it's just doing what God's told us to do, and that's to pray, because all things are done through prayer.
Yes, that's true.
You know.
That is true. Well, another person that is out there is a friend of ours named Al,
mm-hmm.
and he has his video camera. He is precious. He's just always there.
Yes.
And since he's doing the videoing, the escorts of the clinic and the police, they are much nicer
mm-hmm.
when
yes.
they see that camera going.
Yes.
So that's something. And he just videos. That's
yes.
what he does.
Yes.
And then he also, I don't know if you know this, but he comes through the week and checks on that sign.
Oh, no, I
didn't. To make sure it's there. And he has one in case that one's ever gone. He has one to put up.
Okay, great.
So great.
They've kind of left it alone since the 40 Days for Life. But mm-hmm. before that, they were the sign is the free ultrasound sign and our phone number, mm-hmm. You know, were gone quite regularly
yes.
for a while.
Right. And you kept providing them, and now they're staying a
yes.
little bit longer.
Yes, they are. They are.
Well, one thing that's was good, I don't even know if you know about that, but this last year that we went to Bishop Kelly uh-huh. High School, and Kathy, your nurse that
yes.
does the ultrasound, she went with us. So it's working together, and it's getting out in the community and letting people know what's going on. So we appreciate that.
And, we just, and you know, I have
done.
To educate people because,
yes.
you know, years ago, Carol Everett said that 40% of the people are pro-life, 40% are pro-choice, and there's, you know, another percent in the middle that doesn't have a clue about what's going on.
Yes.
You know, it didn't like me, it didn't pertain to me, you know, I was busy raising my family.
Right.
And didn't get involved, but, you know, there are a lot of people that just don't know the information.
That's true. Well, like I said earlier, on February 14th, we were all called by David B. Wright of 40 Days for Life to go to our Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
And we have four
mm-hmm.
in the Tulsa area. And hold a sign or just be there and let people know that $363 million of our tax dollars are going to fund Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
And asking Congress to defund Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the 14th of February. Now, this happened across the country
uh-huh.
in hundreds of locations. On February the 18th, 4 days later, the U.S. House of Representatives, by an overwhelming majority of 240 to 185, voted to defund Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
This now has to go to the Senate, and we know this, and we don't know that it'll go through, but this is a start, and it began because people were out there
yes.
taking a stand,
yes,
speaking out. So we need to know our rights, the First Amendment rights, and I'm going to read this to you. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for the redress of grievances. We have every right to speak out
yes.
and be there. So I want to tell you of another thing. I don't know if you know about this, but in Wichita, Kansas, there's abortionist. Her name is Mila Means. She plans to begin doing abortions at her family practice location since Tiller, mm-hmm. Dr. Tiller, is deceased. Well, let me just tell you a few things that's interesting. The landlord sought an injunction to prevent her from doing this. So she retained George Tiller's old attorney, Lee Thompson, to represent her, and she's now decided not to fight the landlord, and she's agreed to move.
Okay.
Means gave a letter of intent to lease another location. Once the owners found out that she was going to do abortions, they said, no way. The church, three people, is all, showed up
okay.
at the location exposing the evil.
Oh, wow.
So
three people.
Taking a stand. And
okay.
speaking out.
Wow.
The lawsuit said three tenants have announced plans to leave the building if the protests continue. The intermittent presence of demonstrators, protesters, and police officers is unsettling to the staff and to clients visiting my office, the business people say. But we know it's unsettling to the unborn child.
Oh, yes.
Don't we?
Yes.
Protesters have staged demonstrations at Means Clinic since the Associated Press story. The landlord contends performing abortions in the multi-tenant building would be a disruption and nuisance to other tenants. Three tenants have notified the landlord of their intention to vacate their leased premises due to the anticipated nuisance of daily protests. Foliage contended it would lose substantial revenue from tenants vacating the office building, and they would have difficulty leasing space if abortions were performed on the premises. So Means office manager said she is within her rights to practice her medicine at this facility, but the intimidation from the other side forces us to have to pay the price, and the community needs to stand up and be held accountable when something like this occurs.
No.
So they're saying that people need to fight back against those who are saying we don't want abortion mm-hmm. in our area. But three people in three a church people. Have made yeah. this huge difference yeah. for the city of Wichita.
Wow. Yeah.
So you were talking about you want to see more people out.
Right.
We need more people at the Planned Parenthood. Look what right. happened there.
Yes. Yes.
And at the abortion clinic and here at a yeah. business. So there's so much that can be done. And I must tell you a little bit of what happened at our clinic here. When Linda Meek, the executive director of reproductive services, she planted an egg timer in her trash and called the police stating she thought there was a bomb in her trash.
Mm-hmm.
The police came and evacuated the businesses surrounding the abortion clinic, searched, and finally concluded that Linda Meek herself had planted the bomb,
yeah.
the egg timer.
Yeah.
Since this is a federal offense, she was facing up to $250,000 in fines and up to 5 years in prison. But she only got a slap on the wrist.
No.
She $1,500, I think, and,
uh-huh.
then, and she doesn't have to serve any time. But the stress of her life, coupled with the virtual full-time responsibility of an aging mother, simply overwhelmed her emotional and intellectual ability to cope. She even said she wrote herself threatening letters.
That is so
so this
absurd.
This is what I know. This yeah. is what we deal with. But and they say that we have problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They really do. So, but I just wanted to talk about what a difference a few people can make just coming out. What if we all came out?
Right.
What if one person from every church, there's 800 churches in mm-hmm. the city of Tulsa, probably more
yeah.
than that.
Uh-huh.
If what if one person from each church came
yeah.
out, you
yeah.
know? And yeah. we could make such a difference. So we're going to just keep begging people.
Yeah.
Compelling
yeah.
is a better word. Compelling
or,
people
yeah.
to come.
Or if churches would pick one day a month.
Yes.
And,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
and get their people to come on that. You know, that would only take 31 churches at the most.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, it makes such a huge difference.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, I'm going to talk about some other things. You have a baby bottle donations.
Yes.
That is very good.
It's called Baby Bottle Boomerang. Okay. We throw the bottles out to the congregation, not mm-hmm. really throwing uh-huh. them, but and they fill them up and bring them back. And we provide the baby bottles. Someone in the church coordinates it. You know, we had a lot of churches that did it on Life Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Some churches do it on Mother's Day. We've had churches that did it, you know, like some churches have baby dedications on the first Sunday of the month. So mm-hmm. some of them will pick that day to pass them out mm-hmm. and just fill them with change or bills or checks and return them in 3 weeks. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a good way to, you know, teach younger children
yes.
About servant projects, about giving and mm-hmm. and about what abortion is all about,
yes.
you know, whatever age appropriate and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But, you know, it's a good family tool and you don't have to go anyplace, you don't have to buy a ticket.
That's
you know,
right.
You know, you know, and I just, you know, keep mine in the car and throw my change in there,
yes.
you know, each
mm-hmm.
time. So it doesn't
I think
take
it's
long.
Great. I like you say, it would be great for families to mm-hmm. have them and let their children put money in. You know, you talked about age appropriate for children. What I found out is children, even small ones, when you tell them that they're killing babies,
mm-hmm.
immediately they say, oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Why don't you do something to stop it?
Yeah.
You
yes.
know, it's the adults that get
right.
their dander up and get upset.
Right.
But
right.
children, I have never found one child that wasn't ready to do whatever to save that baby's
right.
life.
Right. And when we were on missions for some churches, and when they have their mission fair, you know, we've got the little baby models, little
yes.
plastic ones that we take, and my daughter-in-law's grandma crocheted a whole bunch of little blankets that we tuck them in and stuff. And, you know, I've heard people say that we shouldn't give them to children because they don't respect that model and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel it's planting a seed in that child's life. You know, this is what a baby looks like before it's born, yes, in mommy's tummy.
I agree.
And they can understand that. And we just ask them, you know, you can have one of them if you promise to pray for babies.
That's good.
You know,
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, and it's just planting that seed in their head that it is a human being. It's not a glob of tissue.
Yes, yes. Oh, I think it's wonderful. And children, and that's, like you say, a good time to talk to them, mm-hmm, about babies.
Right.
You know, that once you get married, then
right,
that's the time to start a family and,
right,
and all.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great opportunity for,
yeah,
parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you have the Baby Bucks Boutique. You talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls, how they can earn the bucks by being educated and, mm-hmm, all, and then, mm-hmm, and buy things. And you also have a fundraiser called a mystery dinner.
Yes. We've done that for several years. You know, it's a way to bring friends in, kind of a fun date night and stuff like that. And, mm-hmm, you know, it's not real. It's not like the banquet, which is real heavy pro-life. You know, mm-hmm, it's just a fun evening, and it's, mm-hmm, it's a fundraiser. And in 2010, we had a church that decided to take that over for us, and they got people from their church and practiced and got the location donated and the food, and they raised like $4,000.
Wonderful.
We showed up the night of the event, and they gave us the money. So,
oh, that's the best.
Yeah, right, right. You know, we're just looking for churches that, you know, can come, yes, up with creative fundraising ideas, you know, for us. They may not be able to put us on their mission budget, mm-hmm, but there's also a church in Broken Arrow that every year right before Thanksgiving, they have a pie auction. Oh. And, you know, a chili dinner along with it and, you know, just a lot of fun family things and,
yes,
stuff. And last year, we got a check for $6,500 that they raised at this pie auction.
That's fantastic.
It is.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it such a hoot to see people,
yes,
paying $200 for a pie?
That's great. Well, there's also Just Between Friends. It's a sale. It's a consignment type,
yes,
sale,
uh-huh,
that's,
yes,
going on this week.
Yes. And they give us some of the things, you know, some of the people that donate the items don't want them back if they don't, mm-hmm, sell, so they can send them to organizations. And we are blessed to get some of the used baby and maternity clothes through there.
Is that at the fairgrounds,
yes,
right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So people, mm-hmm, remember that this week.
Yes.
And then you have Golf for Life.
Golf for Life. Every year we do that for the guys. That's September 16th this year at White Hawk,
White Hawk in
Bigsby.
Wonderful. Well, there's some other things I wanted to talk about. I may just mention this. We have just 1 minute left. The unethical vaccines that you had talked about in a newsletter once, there's a thing called Gardasil for the human papilloma virus. Mm-hmm. People are recommending to young girls. To me, that's saying you go out and have premarital sex.
Right.
You know,
right,
it's just a blanket encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But one thing I don't think people understand, there are 150 strands of that, but this Gardasil only covers 16 strands, and many girls are wounded for,
yes,
life from that damage.
Right.
So that's not good. We'll get into that later.
Okay.
It's been great. Nancy, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful time
thank
with you.
Thank you again.
And we'll have you back sometime soon. And
okay.
This has been Ruth Darr with Dividing Line, Truth in Focus, Internet Radio.